The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Hey, news with an agenda is propaganda. Oh, yeah. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because my wife will testify to this. If I stayed home, I would still talk this much. It wouldn't be any different. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy. Classic question to ask. This is going to be a great theme throughout the show. Do we operate in his appointment or do we operate in disappointment? His appointment has an H. Disappointment has a D. One letter changes his appointment to disappointment, but one letter changes disappointment to his appointment. Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out and give us a call. You call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama. Please.
Thank you, David. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. It's isn't that nice? Just that thought right there. A day and an evening. Zero drama. Zero. I think that's what heaven's going to be about right there. Right there. It's like, okay, yeah, no drama. Like it. Okay, awesome. All right, so here we go. It's just really simple. If you want to call us, reach out. When you talk to Jammin' Jacob, you'll be blessed. He's a nice guy to talk to. He's faithful. He's diligent. Did a great job yesterday, so mega props for him helping out Jennifer yesterday. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Also, if you want to reach out to us and you don't want to call, because I know the phone can be scary. You've only been using it for about 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, but I understand it can be scary. You can also text us, which is more technical but less scary, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. You can also send us an email, david@hemusincrease.org. That's David, that little A with a circle around it, which is called the at sign, hemusincrease.org. And it'll send you up to the website. Lots going on the website, encouraging videos, encouraging audios, encouraging articles. You get the theme there. Access to 4,500 hours of podcasts covering everything I can think of. There's just not much it doesn't cover. It's pretty in-depth. It's all about the shows that we've been doing. Also on there is an opportunity to write out a praise report or a prayer request, or like we had somebody send in today, if you just have a question, I'll do my best to answer. If I can't answer it, you know what I'll do? I'll tell you I don't have any good info. But at least I'll tell you that. You'll get an answer one way or another. Additionally, there's a place to partner with the ministry. We think that's pretty important because we cannot advance the kingdom of God without your help. That's it. But we're not going to give you a Ferrari or an airplane or a donut if you give. We'll give you a receipt at the end of the year, and we'll say thank you because we believe when you're giving it unto the Lord. And that is between you and the Lord. We, of course, would be thankful and appreciative about that gift, but you don't need that gift for us to pray for you and care for you. Get it? Deuteronomy 15:10 is the passage we're using. Give generously to the needy, and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org!
You know, I gotta say, that's kind of like Bert when Bert meets another dog. It's like that kind of thing. Kind of a chicken, you know what I'm saying? Kind of funny. I can't help you with anything else on that one. A couple of things I want to talk about. So in the next segments that'll be going on later, I'm going to be talking about, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Don and I had just a brief back and forth, and I came up with something really interesting that I'm looking forward to sharing. That's going to take place in a little while. Today I went to the doctor. For those that are wondering if I'm still alive, yes. Okay, that's the first answer. Then the other answer is it was a pretty good visit. There were a couple of things that I was preparing for that didn't happen. So I was all prepared. We're supposed to do blood work and so on and so forth. And guess what? I was wrong. It's not due yet. So I find that to be hilarious because I think I know what's going on. Then I plan and I coordinate my time. I know I'm the only person that's ever done this. So I put in 20 extra minutes so I can get down to the station because I thought I'd be having blood work. And then I got there and everything was done. And I said, are we doing the blood work? And they said, wrong month. And I was like, oh. And they said, bye. And so all my brilliant planning of 20 extra minutes was useless.
Yeah, you left early for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I was geared up, man. I was ready. I was like, I only drank a little bit of coffee this morning. I was so like, yeah, because I don't want it to reflect, you know, how I really am or anything like that. So anyway, the point is that I was wrong. But what was good there, and as you guys have told you this before, is we have prayed in the past for Nurse Peggy. Nurse Peggy has gone through quite a bit. She's a wonderful Christian woman. Every time she sees my name on the docket that I'm going to be there, she tells me she smiles because she looks forward to us engaging with one another and talking. And we've prayed for her as a ministry before. And there's nothing. She doesn't listen to the show. It's just that we're a blessing in the sense that she knows people are praying for her. So we were talking, and she had just told me about something that went on, and I was just laughing because I said, this is just like the teaching we just finished on Job. We're winding down Job. And I told her that passage about when the Lord said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And you see, that statement right there has an amazing capacity to put everybody in their place pretty quickly. And she looked right at me and she said, I needed that today. That's why the Lord had you in today. I needed to hear exactly that. And she said, I just need to remember that. And then I told her the next part where Job, after he was done with this whole thing, he goes, I put my hand over my mouth. It's like sometimes you ought to just be quiet and say, thank you for letting me live. Right? That's a pretty important element. That, of course, directly, believe it or not, feeds into what we're teaching. What? Get out of town. How is that possible? I don't know. I stopped asking God those questions. I just say thanks. James chapter 1, verse 9, the brother in humble circumstances should exult in his high position. But the one who is rich should exult in his low position, because he will pass away like the flower of the field. Two people being contrasted. One, God doesn't dislike rich people. That's ridiculous. What God doesn't like is rich people that depend on their riches. What God would prefer from his people is that they would use all the things that he gives them as resources, because we are stewards of everything God gives us, not just finances. You're stewards of your talent. You're stewards of your time. You're stewards of the breath that God has put inside of you. And when the judgment day comes, we will give an account for everything that we are stewards for. So the first thing that's being said, that James is kind of flipping in this direction, he goes, the brother in humble circumstances should exult in their high position. What's that high position? That God has ordained them and has poured upon them his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his love, his gospel, which is good news, his compassion, and that God thinks of us as his children. We should be exulting in that. Unfortunately, there are times where when we get into a circumstance that is less than excellent, instead of just simply exulting in our high position that we maintain because of Jesus Christ, which puts us in favor of God, instead of just enjoying that and appreciating that and exulting in that, there tends to be every once in a while a little bit of barking, maybe a little bit of complaining takes place when we're in humble circumstances, because we're thinking, why? That's exactly what Peggy said, by the way. Why? Everybody wants to know why. Here's the answer from God. Ready? Because. That's the answer. You want a divine answer? There you go. But what the Lord doesn't want us to do is, in our humble circumstances, complain. Because complaining is, in all things, telling God you don't like the job he's doing. That's the big one. It's one thing to go, this meal wasn't that great. It's another thing to go, this whole thing that the Lord put me in was a waste of time. See those two different things right there? Maybe your meal needed a little salt. Maybe when we complain before the Lord, our heart needs a little softness and not pride. We are entitled to nothing. I cannot say it again. I do not care what any piece of paper on the earth says that was written by man and not by God. You are deserving of nothing. You are entitled to nothing. You are owed nothing. The very breath in your existence every single day and every single moment is another gift from God. And until we get on his page and learn to be appreciative, we're going to take every circumstance we don't like and whine about it. That's the wrong kind of wine that we are operating in. Get it? But then he says this in verse 10. So it's not just, you know, people who are in tough circumstances complaining. Then he takes the opposite track, and James says this in verse 10. But the one who is rich should exult in his low position, because he will pass away like the flower of the field. Well, what does that mean, Dave, the low position? That means that that person should recognize that every one of us is humbled before the throne of God. And even if the Lord's blessed you immensely, if you trust in those riches, you're going to find out it's fleeting. And the difficulty that we have as a nation is that we put a lot of stock into having things, and we've talked about this many, many times. And it's like, you got to remember, these are not you driving a Bentley is not eternal. You might be called out on the carpet for stewardship. I don't know. That's between you and God. But what I'm trying to say is you doing that, that's not the issue. The issue is your spirituality cannot be based on anything as wickedly up and down as the financial status of a country, of a state, or of a city, or of a household. It just can't be. Your spiritual status is based on the consistency of Jesus Christ. That way, there's no wavering. Then James goes on in verse 11. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers with the plant. It withers the plant. The flower falls and its beauty is lost. So too, the rich man will fade away in the midst of his pursuits. It's not that the rich man is bad, but if the pursuit is always money, 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 that will lead to ruin. In fact, Scripture tells us that we should be content if we have a connection with the Lord. Does that mean that you are not allowed to have nice things? No. That doesn't mean that at all. Job was one of the four richest people in the world. It doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean is that that stuff is not what you depend on. In fact, what is interesting, even in my own life, and it's really hard for me, just so you can know, it's interesting to see how I react and how I act about money, and it tells me how much of a value it does or doesn't have, depending on how tightly I hold on to it. So the worst thing that a person like me can do, seriously, is say, well, I only got this. You know, I got this $50. I'm going to keep all 50 until the Lord does this, instead of saying, hey, you know what? Here's 5. And you know what? Here's 5 more. I believe you can do more with my 40 than I can do with my 50. And for somebody like me who grew up in a lot of money, it's a weird world. But the sooner we let go, the freer we become. So I'm just going to tell you that. That's just what's happened with me. Doesn't mean it's always easy. I have my moments. Ask my wife. All right, now we're just going to jump into the trivia. And here's your trivia question. It's very simple, straightforward. Why did Christ come into the world? To accuse the world, to condemn the world, or to save sinners? Now, if you're in San Diego, it's 11:48 and 30 seconds. Don't be hesitating to reach out to us. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:48 and 35 seconds. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. Why did Christ come into the world? Number one, to accuse people. Number two, to condemn people. Or number three, to save sinners. Why did he come into the world? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 is your reference. If you want to reach out to us, the number is 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? To accuse sinners, to condemn sinners, or to save sinners? That's your question. Let's see what the answers are from the people when they come in. In the meantime, let's go back to our James text. Now, again, we're in James, and James takes quite a bit of time going after people that do a lot of doubting, do a lot of trusting in their own power, doing a lot of trusting in their own wisdom. He doesn't have any resistance about telling people, that's wrong. You're wrong. You should stop doing that. Knock that off. That's not the way to follow Jesus. James just lays it on the line. Then he says this, which is amazing, right? Verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This is just amazing. You have to catch, first of all, that verse 12, when he said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, takes you back to verse 2 in James 1, where James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials. And now he's saying this in verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under the trials. If you go through a trial, and if you've not gone through a trial, see salvation in the back of the book. If you've gone through trials and you've persevered under that trial, that's part of the anticipatory of the joy, the happiness, the gladness that's there before us. And it says this. It says, "Be blessed is the man who perseveres under the trial, because when he has stood the test," what's God doing? He's testing you. Is God testing you for God to know? No. God's omniscient. He knows everything. He tests you so you can know. He lets you go through the same trial multiple times so you can see. So you can look at it and go, yeah, on this one I did really well. I focused here. I did this really good. But on this one, I went south. It's like for us to know. And so he says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, when you get through the test, and yes, it's a test, and yes, you're still in school. It's the seminary of hard knocks. You're in there for a lifetime. You might as well enjoy it. It's never going to stop until the trumpet blows. But he says, when you've stood the test, you'll receive the crown of life. So there's some argument that's not actually a real crown. Maybe, but it says the crown of life. I really don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem if that means the crown of life just being the greatness of life. I think it's a crown. It says crown. I mean, why would I not think that? He will receive the crown of life that God has promised. What's the thing we know about God's promises? He cannot lie. God made you a real promise, really genuine genuinely from God. Not contrary to the word of God. Genuine promise, like he made to Abraham. If he made a promise, it never fails. Period. And God made this promise for the crown of life. And it's for those who love him. Do you want to know what this whole thing just revolves around? We've talked about it how many times? 4.5 years. 1,000 shows. How many times have we talked about this? This all revolves around this relationship with the Lord. This is not about you being a robot. This is not about you being a perfect little person. This is not about God trying to rob all your fun. This is not about a religion, which is a set of rules and a set of do's and don'ts and laws and non-laws. This is about a living relationship with the living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is about. And our love for God, which better be genuine because nobody knows its genuineness better than God, is there to connect us to God. And in that connection, he makes this promise. And he goes, look, he goes, persevere, keep going, don't quit. I'm going to give you the crown of life when you're done with this. That's why you can consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials. Because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And that perseverance that develops in you makes a Christ-likeness that is unchangeable and you take with you into eternity. Hallelujah, I'm getting excited myself. Because this is what it has to do with. The Lord is telling you, you know that trial you're going through? You know that tough situation? You know how difficult it is? Persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. Tell yourself. Remember we talked about self-talk just the other day. You know, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. That's self-talk. Put your hope in God. Hey, the Lord's going to get you through it. Persevere. Stand firm. As you stand firm in the Lord, you will prevail in that trial. And when you prevail in that trial, God will give you the crown of life. And you will be not just dancing on streets of gold. And by the way, we use that reference so you can understand this. Streets of gold, that's the bottom. You understand? Streets of gold. Heaven's paved with streets of gold. That's the bottom, not the top. That's not even the curb. That's the street. And if the street at the bottom is gold, how about everything that rises above it? And that's what the Lord wants for us. That's what he's trying to get us to, so that we reflect the image of Jesus Christ, so that we walk in this communion with the Lord, so that we don't let the woes of the world wash us away. That we don't let the woes of the world wash us away. Because our focus, our mind, our seeking is for the kingdom of God. And our hearts are for eternity with God in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's what moves us. Not all this other stuff. So whether you're in a tough situation and poor, and whether you're in a great situation and rich, if you're poor, recognize your height. If you're rich, recognize you're low. All of it under the hand of Jesus Christ, who gives every breath to us we ever take. All right, in answer to the question, why did Christ come into the world? To accuse sinners, to condemn sinners, or to save sinners? And the answer is to save sinners. That's the answer. If you're in San Diego, you can keep listening by going to hemustincrease.org. Click on the Listen Live. If you're listening here in Dallas, just hang out. We're going to get more and more cool stuff going. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, this is how the Lord hurts for you. And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.